Okay, good morning, everyone. We're continuing in Sefer Shoftim, and we're endeavoring to explain to you the rationale for the vow that Gidon made, and the fact, again, Yiftach, thank you. I was even thinking Yiftach when I said Gidon. I was thinking it. Yes, as Gemara says, Shabeshta Kivan da all. Once a mistake takes root, it takes root.
That's true.
Yeah. So Yiftach, the reason he made the vow, the reason it appears, as we'll see later, that he does not annul the vow. So we talked yesterday, at the end of the class, about even though Yiftach was a tzaddik, but he lived with wicked people who had some influence on him. And then we brought the other medrash that says that if a person's a tzaddik, but he doesn't have any Torah, then he's not worth anything. We talked about that as well. And Yiftach is the classic example of this. And because of that, tzaddik without Torah lost his daughter. So, and therefore he was influenced by those who he tried to influence. He was influenced by them. Right? And we mentioned that's probably what was his. You could really say at the end of the day, and I would speculate, as I said at the end of yesterday's class, his name is Yiftach because that really is his mission in life. What would be in other words, people have the moment in life. So everyone has this most important moment in your life where everything is riding on this thing. So Yosef had it. When he was able to resist the overtures of the wife of Potiphar, that was the critical moment in his life. And you could say another critical moment then comes when how he deals with his brothers. Ultimately, you know, that was what Yosef's purpose in this world was all about. And those were the tests of the Avos, Akedas Yitzchak, etc., etc. You have this is really what your life was all about. So we could suggest that if his name was Yiftach, Yiftach literally means who Yiftach, he will open up. He will open up. So we see, as we mentioned before from Rabbi Tzadok, that he will open up new ways of doing Avodas Hashem. But we could say a little more now. The real point in his life to really show if he was doing things properly is if he would Yiftach, if he would find a Petach, a Pesach, an opening for the vow that he made. When you make a vow, the expression that is used to nullify the vow is to find a Pesach, to find an opening to be able to annul the vow. And could very well be that his whole goal in life was, would he have the ability to, in other words, he did a lot in his life. He was a tzaddik. He helped out the Jewish people even though they embarrassed him. He was a courageous warrior for the Jewish people. Got to give him credit for all that. He wanted to do good. But what would be that turning point that would make him really, you know, go beyond what he felt he could do? Was he'd have to find a way to nullify that vow. And your mission in life is to Yiftach. You've tried to open up certain areas. But ultimately, you're going to have to be posech this neder. And if you can't, that means you really failed in your life. As we will see later on. We'll see, he does get punished for not trying to find the ultimate solution, because he's not buried anywhere in particular, as his limbs were found piece by piece. We'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. But I feel that was the critical point. So the fact that he didn't have Torah, that's what the Midrashim are saying. He wasn't able to find this Pesach. But let's explain a little bit more now. The Gemara in Menachos, Daf Chof Tes, says that we know mystically that the world, this world was created with the letter He. It says, Ki b'ko Hashem tzur olamim. Because with the letters Yud He, Hashem fashioned the worlds. So Yud, the small letter, is how Hashem fashioned Olam Haba, and He is how Hashem fashioned this world. Now it's all very mystical, we don't really know what it means, but it's the power of the letter He created this world. The Gemara on a simple level explains, because the He is formed like an achsadra, like a hallway that's open on the bottom, which means to say that man can fall right out. If you're not careful, the force of gravity will just push you right out of the world. And if you're going to want to do tshuva, what do? Well, you can come along the side, and there's a little opening at the top. Right? Squeeze yourself in. You could do tshuva. Morris says, so why don't you just come back in the way you came out? Morris says, It won't work. That's a gemara. So Rav Tzadok explains the following, and perhaps with this we can explain some of Yiftach's behavior. Rav Tzadok says, we know, Gemara says, if you do an Aveira once and you repeat it, you know, then it becomes something more acceptable to you. And therefore, after three times already, like, forget it. You think it's mamish a mitzvah and it's nothing wrong with it. And that's why it says in the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachmi, you know, it says Hashem is Mavir Rishon Rishon. Hashem will let go of the one. Because the first couple times you do the Averi, you still feel bad. You still feel bad when you do the very first time, second time, you feel bad. And if you do tshuva, Hashem will forgive you. But by the third time already, you know, you don't even feel bad about it. So Hashem's not really going to forgive you that easily. Because now you think it's totally permitted. So therefore, if you're a person who sinned once or twice, so you're still in the realm of a tzaddik, right? So, you know, you could come in through the bottom. You could still come in through the bottom. You know why? Because you still think it's bad. You still think it's bad. Yeah, well, you know, even if you fell out, you didn't have air once, really feel bad about it, you know. So you consciously feel wrong. Okay, so let's just not do it anymore and just get back up there. You know, but if a person has done a lot of Averis, so, you know what, you know, and you're like, quote unquote, the Baal Tshuva, you can't come back in the same way. Because you think this is okay. You think it's okay. So it's okay, you know, how can you go back that same way? Rather, you're going to have to work on elevating yourself in other ways that will overcome this point. And this is where you have to, you know, work a lot harder and move up to be able to come in from that little opening on the other side. So that's a general idea of the hay. So Yiftach, as we've said, he is the person who is makar of people. He is the man of the Baal Tshuva movement, as it were. And probably in many ways it speaks to himself as well. So for Yiftach, what he felt he had to do, and this is going to be a mistake, as we will see. But he thought, in order to be a proper Baal Tshuva, you have to prohibit a lot of things on yourself. Remember, a neder means this thing is really permitted. But it's now by your voicing this neder, it is now restricted upon you. Well, what's the whole problem with the three-time sinner? The whole problem with the three-time sinner, that which is prohibited, he thinks is permitted. Right? So what does he have to do? He has to learn restraint. But so how is he going to learn restraint? He has to be able to say, even that which is permitted, I won't do. So making vows when a person makes a vow, what is he supposed to be focusing on? Well, you know what? I'm just focusing on the will of Hashem. And even if I think it's mutter, I still can't do it because Hashem doesn't want me to do it. So what's going to get you to feel that way by making vows? When you take something that's mutar, that's allowed, and you say, you know what, it's not mutar for me. It's usur for me. That will be the tool to now look at certain averos that you think are mutar, that you think are allowed. And now, if I'm already keeping other vows, then, you know, like, for example, let's say a person's having trouble with kashrus. You're not so careful about kashrus, you know, you don't look at the hechsherim, so okay. We're not talking eating treif. But, you know, you have a relaxed attitude to kashrus. You don't say, what's wrong with strawberries? Why can't I eat strawberries? The rabbis are crazy. You know, I never saw a bug in a strawberry. Right? You know, what's the problem? I don't have to wait 6 whole hours for meat and milk. You know, I've become a Dutch and I only keep 1 hour. You know, I'm going to Starbucks, and I think it's okay, this product, but you know, that's a hechsher I never saw before. that's probably okay. So a person is making its nasik a heter. He thinks, you know, laxity and kashrus is a good thing. It's, you know, why do you have to be so restricted? So now the person wants to do tshuva. Right? So he's not going to be able to say, okay, I won't look at this hechsher anymore and say that it's okay. What does he have to do? You know what? I'm going to take on Chol of Yisrael. Now that's not a vow. It's not a vow. I'm trying to make the point. I will now be strict upon myself. I won't have anything that's not Chol of Yisrael. So now, Chol of Stam, regular Nachol of Yisrael, it's kosher, it's kosher. You know, Migdal cheese, which is not Chol of Yisrael, is kosher. No one's going to say reading trade, chas v'shalom. But it's not Chol of Yisrael. Chol of Yisrael costs another $5 a package. Right? And it's for sure better. Right? So now, person, you know what? I want to do the will of Hashem. Even though, you know, I don't really understand, it's not that, but I want to do the will of Hashem. The will of Hashem is very nice. So now, what's going to happen? He's keeping Chol of Yisrael. So the next time he's going to look at a strawberry, and he's going to say, you know, I want to eat this strawberry. He says, I'm already keeping Chol of Yisrael. I'm going to start eating strawberries. I'm already doing this. That which is totally permitted, I'm not eating. So that's already questions on, I'm going to start eating. So this is a method that Yiftach wanted to use. That's how he thought it would work, and which, you know, would appear to make a certain degree of sense. And of course, you see, now that's why you have to come in the other way with the hay. You know, if you have a lackadaisical attitude to kashrus, you say, okay, from now on I'm going to be more careful. No, you have a lackadaisical attitude to kashrus. You're not going to go back in the way you came out. So I got to find a higher way. It's not just, I'm not going to have a lackadaisical attitude. I want to do things because Hashem wants me to be higher. I want to do the ratzon of Hashem. That's a more precise attitude. It's a harder one to develop. The hole is a lot smaller to get in, but you can reach a higher level because I want to do the Ratzon Hashem. So this was Gidon's feelings of why he made a neder. Yiftach's feelings of why he wanted to make the neder. You understand why the focus of neder is important? Okay, now let's take it a step further now. We're not finished. So Gemara Nedarim on Kav Beis on the Beis says the following. And this one we taught once a while ago. Gemara says, Il Mole Chato Yisrael, if the Jews had not sinned, Lo Niten Lohem Elacham Yishechum Shetara V'Sefer Yishua Bovad. Hashem would have only given the Jewish people the 5 books of the Torah and the book of Yehoshua, and that's all we would have needed. We wouldn't have needed any more. And why did he need Sefer Yeshua? Because it talks a lot about the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, which is very important. So it's very precious to us. But, and had we been good Jews, we wouldn't have needed any more. Wouldn't have needed Sefer Shoftim. We didn't need anything else. But now that they sinned, we need more. My time, what's the reason? So he brings a pasuk in Kohelas. Ki barov chachma rov kaas. Because, so the verse simply means where there's a lot of chachma, there's a lot of anger. So obviously the Gemara takes a little liberty to give their interpretation and says like this. In other words, where there's a lot of kas, you need a lot of chachma. Where there's a lot of anger, you need a lot of wisdom to offset that anger. So in other words, and we'll see in a minute how this makes sense. So therefore, more Torah we give you, say for Shoftim, Shmuel, etc., it says it's going to be more chachma, we'll deal with the kas of the averis that a person does. So you got to realize, you know, every Reb Tzadok is a very important rule when you're learning Talmud. You know, that's a very nice saying. What's it doing in Tractate Nedarim? You could put this in the Tractate Pesachim. So he says, any agadata, any moral lessons or interesting stories that are not of halachic basis that relate to the topic. Nedarim is vows. So what does it have to do with vows? But it has to. If Gemara put it in there, it has to do with vows. It's very important to do with vows. So what's the connection? The connection is you got to look at all the Gemara before. Look at all the Gemara before, you'll see how it ties in. So Gemara does talk about vows. And the Gemara says that Afal Pi Shemakaimo, if a person makes a vow, even though he keeps it, Nikra Rasha is called a Rasha. Making vows is not a good thing to do, because first of all, you may not keep it. And even if you keep it, you're still called a Rasha, brings a whole bunch of psukim. He says, if says in Dvarim, Chisechta Lindor, if you stop making the Dvarim, Lo Yibachet, you won't have sins. So, stop making the Dvarim. And what if you're making the Dvarim? The Gemara says, even if you fulfill them, it's not a great thing. And to give all kinds of proofs to all this. So, right away, the Gemara is saying, you know, making the Dvarim is not a good thing. Then the Gemara segues into another thing, just seamlessly. Well, we're talking about that already, talking about Russia, right? So the Gemara says, Kala Kayes, anyone who gets angry, all types of Gehenim control them. And they prove that. And all lower aspects of the person control them, etc., etc. And then it starts talking about how terrible anger is. Kala Kayes, anyone who gets angry, even the Shekhinah isn't important for the person, etc., etc. The person gets angry, he forgets his learning. He becomes more foolish, becomes a ksil, becomes foolish. And then Rav Nachman says, it's known that if a person has a lot of more averis than mitzvahs, it's probably because he's an angry, foolish person without Torah. So let's put, and then it says to Gemara, if we wouldn't have sinned, we wouldn't need any more books of the Torah. So let's put this all together. So let's see what's emerging over here. Person makes a vow. What type of personality of a person makes a vow? What's Gemara saying? Who just all of a sudden says, I vow not to do this anymore? What kind of personality is this? It comes from a person who has gvura, personality type of control. And if gvura is done properly, it's a wonderful thing. But gvura misdirected will turn into chaos, anger. Self-control, you know, is a good thing to do. But if you don't know how to self-control yourself properly, you're going to get angry at yourself. In other words, you want to have self-control, but don't let it get too extreme, because that becomes anger. Or you want to control others, and they don't listen to you, you get angry at them. So that's all part of anger, self-control. Ezel gibor, who is a gibor? Hakovesh es yitro, he conquers his yetzer. You need a lot of power to conquer a Yetzer, a lot of adrenaline rush. You need a lot of, you know, excitement to be able to have the power to control. But if you're not careful, you know, you get angry. And a person who's angry, quick to respond, makes vows very quickly. And that's really why anyone who makes a vow is a sinner. Because why? Because usually vows are made out of what's the word I'm looking for? You do things quickly without thinking. Impetuousness. Impetuous, you know. That's the way it is. I vow not to do this. I swear I will never go to your wedding again. Right? You didn't invite me to this one. I swear I won't go. I vow I won't go to your wedding. To your next son's wedding. I vow I won't invite you to my kid's wedding. That doesn't usually come off a person who sits and thinks it over and weighs the issues. Isn't going to usually make such a comment, right? And even though he keeps the vow and doesn't go to the wedding, he's a sinner. Right? So that is that issue. So now what do you need to cure it? A lot of Torah. A lot of Torah is going to be the antidote. It will direct the gvura in the right way. Did anybody invite me to the wedding? Okay, I'm going to ask a shiloh. I'm going to go to a rabbi, ask him a shiloh. See what the Torah has to say about this before I make any decisions. And that will usually help. And therefore, why do we need more than the five books to start in Sefer Yeshua? Because there are Jews who have a lot of anger. A lot of sinners. And that's where the vows come in. Right? Now, the fact of the matter is, should one never make a vow? But we saw that Yaakov Avinu made a vow. We see that Chana made a vow. We saw that there were people who made vows. The Jewish people made a vow when they were fighting Amalek. And we said that was good. So what's the difference? So he explains, Reb Tzedakah explains, that there's a good kind of vow and a bad kind of vow. A good kind of vow fits more into the language of neder. The language of a vow really is, the expression is, hare olai, I accept upon myself the following. So like Yaakov said, hare olai, I accept upon myself to do this mitzvah. If Hashem, you will help me with all these things, then I accept upon myself to this mitzvah. Interesting. Haray olai. That's the expression. Haray olai. It is upon me. Olai, ayin lamed yud, has the same letters as aliyah. elevation. You have to do it in order to elevate yourself. You know, then that is a good kind of an aliyah, and it will generally not be coming from an impetuous sense, because very people don't try that hard to be better people, unless they think about it. Most people don't impetuously want to be good, right? The other kind of neder is where, and it's really a nedava, where you don't say hare alai, but hare zu. This is prohibited to me. Usually, the negative kinds of nedarim are when we apply restraints upon ourselves. When you apply a restraint upon yourself, that's where you are, I'm not going to your wedding. that was after with you. What's it do with your spiritual growth? It's just, you know, you have gvura that you can't control, and you get angry, and you make this vow. So usually vows that are external to you, those are the bad ones. The ones that are internal to you, you know, or if you're in trouble, we said you make vows when you're in trouble, right? Because there may be no tomorrow. So you say, oh, if Hashem, if you will help me, I promise to finish Shas. I will learn the entire Talmud. I will give more tzedakah. I will become a better person. I will elevate. How is he a better person by saying the first thing that comes, I will bring as an offering? That's more external to the person. It's more of a restriction, as it were. I will give something away of mine. That's a restriction. That's not an aliyah. So that's when it becomes a negative type of vow, and this is coming from anger. And we'll see, I mean, you could see already in the person of Yiftach, he isn't such an easy character to deal with. Because when the people from Gilad wanted to ask him to be the leader after they threw him out, he was very tough on them. He made all kinds of demands, right? Quick, you know, instead of saying, okay, you know, well, let bygones be bygones. You could already see he's the kind of guy who could get angry and make vows, right? And we'll still see that there's more to this. Right? So a netter of restraint, you know, that's creating boundaries is not such a good thing. It's not such a good thing. So now, what are the different levels of tshuva? And there's a kind of tshuva from yira, of fear, and tshuva from ava, tshuva out of love. So a person who does tshuva out of fear is usually a person, for example, who has busha, who has shame. And we say such a person as a ver can be forgiven. But this is a lower level of tshuva because fear means you're afraid and it's more of a restraint kind of tshuva. You know, only doing because I don't want to get punished. So usually, more often than not, it's avoiding doing averos as opposed to really doing what tshuva me'ahava is, what tshuva out of love is. And what tshuva out of love really is where the person is yearning to uplift himself and to come back to the upper levels possible. And that really is the best tshuva of that upper part of the letter hey. That's the real. You really want to do a tshuva out of love. I love you so much, Hashem, that love is beyond anything else I could ever want in this world. So even if I've done a lot of averos, and I'm really terrible, and I think everything is mutar. I think, you know, I can do this, I can do that, and I've allowed so many things in my life. If you come to a level of loving Hashem, so that love becomes the overriding principle that we know that love is mekalkelis as ashura. It takes everything out. When you love someone, everything else falls away. No matter what, if you love someone, and the person says, please don't go to the hockey game that you love so much. You know, come and sit with me, and we'll go to a concert. You hate a concert, and you don't want to go to a concert. You know, I don't want to do it. You know, it's dumb, but I love the person. You love the person. You don't make any cheshbonos. You don't make any calculations. Even if you love me, you won't do this. But I want to do this. I think it's a good thing to do. But if you love me, you won't do it. So once the love overrides your own personal desires, even if you think it's mutar, but I think it's okay to eat strawberries. But if God doesn't want you to eat strawberries, but I don't understand. It's like something like that. But I love Hashem. If I love Hashem, I'll do it. So that's how you come around the other side. So the Baal Tshuva, really, what's the best way to be the Baal Tshuva is out of love. Now, of course, you're never really going to love Hashem unless you understand Hashem. Right? You can't love anyone unless you know them. Right? What's the way to love Hashem? more than any other way is to learn his Torah. If you learn his Torah, you will learn to love Hashem. Right? You're finding out more about the object of your love. The more, when do you love a person? You love your spouse as years pass, hopefully, if you've made the effort to find the good qualities of the spouse. And as time passes, you see more outstanding, and every year, look how many wonderful things she does for me. Even more, she even does more than I ever thought. So you love the person because you get to know them more. Unfortunately, a lot of people do the reverse. They try to find all the bad things in the person and hate them more over time and love them less. So if you want to really love Hashem, you have to learn a lot of Torah. So that's an amazing way to go to the upper part of the hay. In other words, you understand the issue? If you want to do tshuva and aveira that you think is mutar, you ain't going to come back the same way. Just to say, well, now I'm not going to do it, that's not going to work. It can't work. The only way it's going to work is you're going to have to find a whole new approach to your avodas Hashem. The whole new approach is loving Hashem. Once you love Hashem, then there's something to talk about. Now, that's a very narrow hole. To love Hashem doesn't give you a lot of wiggle room. Basically, what you gotta do, you gotta find out who Hashem is. You can't try all these, new age strategies and this and that. You know, it's one thing. Get to know Hashem, find out about Him, learn Torah. That's gonna be and then, once you love Hashem, everything else pales. And now you're at a much higher level, because it's much less like you're gonna ever sin again. As opposed to saying, okay, from now on, I will check the strawberries. I won't buy strawberries. But you really wanna buy strawberries, so you know what, it's not gonna work. Yiftach wanted to reach this higher level too, but he used the wrong approach. He used the tshuva meyira approach, the tshuva out of fear of being kovesh es hayitzro, conquer your yetzahara. But now, how will that happen? The person will make a lot of chumras, will make a lot of restrictions on himself. That's that other way. Shuv out of fear. I make a lot of restrictions. If I don't eat Chol Yisrael, if I'm keeping Chol Yisrael, I'm certainly not going to be lax in other kashrus levels. But it still doesn't mean you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, maybe, but it's still Tshuva Meira. Let's not take it away. And if that works for you, it's a level. Is it ultimately going to be the level that's going to make you the best you could be? No. It could be the starter. Let's say, I don't know how to get out of this yet, and I'm not yet loving Hashem yet. I'm not in that mindset to love Hashem. Well, you gotta stop doing the Avera, man. So you got three options. Option one is, I will now just not eat strawberries. Because God said, but you're, it's not gonna work, because you want strawberries. You have no reason not to eat the strawberries. You're gonna, will. You, maybe for 2 or 3 days you won't, but then you're gonna come right back. You can't come back in the same way. On the other hand, if the person says, well, you know what, I'm gonna take on chumras. I'm going to take astringencies. That's tshuva from Yira, tshuva out of fear. And you're going to say, well, listen, if I am that which is permitted, I'm making prohibited, then certainly the things that are prohibited, I shouldn't make permitted. There's a good logic to that, and it will work, but you still are just coming to Hashem from a negative way. It really isn't happy way. And it's a way, usually with a way with no Torah. And that really isn't so much what Hashem wants. It's another method. Right? Tshuva to love has to have Torah, which is a much higher level, and more than that. So now, a person who now comes to tshuva out of fear and of restraint and all this, so, and he's actually making vows, because, you know, at the end of the day, he's not a happy Jew. Because I can't do this, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. Person like that's not a happy Jew, and it's probably a Jew who gets angry. Who are the Jews that are more likely to throw stones in Mea Shearim when a secular Jew drives by? A Jew who loves Hashem? Or a Jew who imposes a lot of restrictions upon himself? Right? The one who has a lot of restrictions, he's tough. But so tough to the point that there's no happiness in his life. So many restrictions in his life. He's quick to do certain things. He's angry, and you know, you're more religious with more chumras, and that makes me the better Jew. I'm better than you, and I'm jealous of those who aren't suffering like me. So therefore, I throw rocks at them, because a certain way, the other day, I know that they're having more fun than I am. So that's the psychology. Now, you could you ever imagine the mashal, someone like Rav Avinoam, who loves Hashem, right? We never throw a rock at a secular Jew. Even if they drove into Hebron on Shabbos, when they throw a rock at them, so he loves Hashem. He doesn't have this resentment, he doesn't have this anger. He'll find another way. He'll find another way to deal with this. Okay. So you now can begin to understand Yiftach's personality here and what would lead him to do this vow. He is in the Baal Tshuva movement. This is like really Tshuva. So you've got to do something. So he's opening up a pathway. You know, we have to be Makar of Jews. But his method was wrong. His method was, one second, his method was wrong. And we know that Yosef, to a certain way, you know, the people of Yosef, you know, Yosef represents Sur Meira, stay away from evil. He represents a tremendous amount of Gvura. Even though he's the meat of Yesod, but he has a tremendous amount of Gvura. And Yosef, even though he does tshuva, but he's not, and he's a tzaddik. Remember, the tzaddik, Yesod Olam, tzaddik will not do Averis. But his kind of tshuva is not a tshuva out of love. It's not so much out of love. If you look, he resisted from the wife of Potiphar. Why? What was the things that got him? Is because he loved Hashem? He's the vision of his father. What's going to happen if you do this? You're going to be bounced out of Klal Yisrael. You won't have your name on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. And it was all these negatives. Now, guess what? It worked. And it made him a tzaddik. Made him a tzaddik. But, you know, and he was a real gibor. And how else can he resist all of Egyptian lifestyle? You don't find anywhere where he mamish singing praise of how I love you, Hashem. We're not, now Chasram, he's still a tzaddik. Let's not misunderstand. He is a tzaddik. He doesn't come to do averus. But he's a, you know, he's like the thinker type. You know, the real litvak. You know, the real thinker type. And we know that this is very good to use this method when you live in Golos. Yosef is the king of Golos. When we were in Mitzrayim, he was the leader. Because you know what? This is the place where you gotta resist. There's a certain period you gotta resist. It might not be your highest form of Avodas Hashem, but guess what? It does work. And that's what has to happen. So, well, who is the real person who really does the best tshuva? It's Yehuda. Yehuda does tshuva out of love. We're not talking about Yehuda now. I'm not gonna get into it and all the points to that. We'll leave that when we have a discussion about Yehuda. But you see, Yehuda though is big in Torah. As well, those the people. David HaMelech was not a slouch when it came to Torah. Who did Yaakov send down to Mitzrayim? Yehuda to set up schools of learning. Not to say Yosef didn't know Torah, but he had the Torah of Golos. The Torah of Golos, which is the Torah of resistance. Yehuda had the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, which is unbridled love to Hashem. So now you can understand. And that's why it says by tshuva, it says in tshuva, kechu imachem devarim v'shuva l'Hashem. Take yourself words and return to Hashem. It's words, words of love, not even so much restraint, but it's words of love, right? So Gidon, now let's go full circle. Gidon is Yiftach. I even wrote my notes. Gidon, it's terrible. It's just terrible. So anyway, it's just whatever. So Yiftach, he is the tzaddik. But what did the Medrash say before? The tzaddik with no Torah. So Yosef, as much as he's the tzaddik, the serious tzaddik, but he still had Torah.
Did he study Torah in Egypt?
Well, he had the Torah from his father. His father taught him Torah for 17 years. He had what to review. So Yosef was the tzaddik and didn't do foolish things because he had Torah as well, which is a very good level, the tzaddik. But it's still not going to be the level of Yehuda, but still a very good level of tzaddik, right? And he has Torah. But the tzaddik without Torah, you want to be like Yosef, but without Yosef's Torah, then you will fail. Then you will fail. And that was Yiftach's failure. Because what was his Judaism? His Judaism is, I won't. He gets angry. He makes vows. This is going to make me religious, and to a certain thing, he was called a tzaddik. Let's not minimize. He was a tzaddik. But will this Baal Tshuva revolution work? It will not work. will not work, and it'll come to the point where he will sacrifice his daughter. So that, I think, is a much deeper way of understanding the flaw. There's still one more point which we'll get to a little bit later, which fits into all this as well. You know, once you get angry, a certain degree of arrogance, and we'll see that, you know, Gomorrah says, well, why didn't he call Pinchas to find out if there's a way out? And he said, what do you mean? I'm the leader. Why should I come to him? So we'll talk about that. That fits into that as well. So I think that's a deeper way. This is the Yiftach that should have seen. Now, if he would have opened up and found a Pesach, which means he would have had to humble himself to Pinchas to find a way out, and he didn't, because he's an angry type of guy without Torah. He says, you know what? I'll serve Hashem by suffering. And that's fine. So I'll lock her up and I'll give her away. And that's going to be my way of dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But ultimately, it was not a successful way. Now, Oren was first patient one here.
Isn't the third level of Torah Adalah easier even than the second level?
Is it harder to
do all those Kumar? Like, those are...
Yeah. Is it easy to learn Torah, Oren? Let's be honest.
No.
It's easy, to go to Gemara class? Easily Gemara, 3, 4, 5 hours a day? Remember, in the Talmud, that's where the aura of Hashem is. The light of Hashem is in Torah. It's in Gemara for a man. Right? That's where it's going to come. The love of Hashem is coming from learning Gemara. Guys don't want to learn Gemara. It's hard. It's a lot of you say, we don't need this. It's easier in the short term, but it doesn't develop this love. This way you have all these people who... So you got to be careful with the Baal Tshuva. The Baal Tshuva, you know, may impose a lot of restrictions on his life, not really come to Hashem out of love. Most Baal Tshuvas are not coming to Hashem out of love. They're coming because they have problems. And this will solve their problems. And there's a certain degree of fear that you're afraid you're going to get punished and all these things. And things haven't been working out for me. Maybe there'll be less punishments if I become a better person. It's mainly out of fear. It's very rare it's out of love. And then what do they do? Just impose more restrictions. And they walk around unhappy. And they want to make sure that other people are unhappy. And they're upset if there's other people who are happy. Why are you happy? I'm not happy. I'm religious and I'm not happy. But at least God isn't punishing me. Right? So then they turn to this happy chassid and says, what's wrong with you, man? Chassid said, well, I'm happy because I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But, you know, even a happy chassid has to be learned in Torah, though. Because that's where you ultimately come to the higher level. So that was Yiftach's failure, and you could see how bad is it you're willing to sacrifice your daughter. And that's what happens, because really the people who have all these chumras in life, how do you think your children react to all this? You're the Baal Tshuva, and your kids are growing in the Baal Tshuva family. Look what my parents do. They don't have any fun in life. They're not even happy. So what is that for the child to want to aspire towards? All right, so that's the problem. So they've got to develop this. Now, if the Baal Tshuva starts learning Torah and is happy with his learning of Torah, then the kids say, Abba's a happy guy. I want to be a happy guy. Right? So how many children do we sacrifice by not having this method of happiness coming in through the hay? Instead of all kinds of restrictions, I will make that more things are not allowed. This is a very subtle thing. And you can see where Yiftach meant well. But it just didn't have the right tools for this. And he was trying to open up a new way. He's opening a new way. So okay, that was good. You know, let's get involved with Baal Tshuvas and help them out. That's good. That was a p'ticha. We can expand the road. But you gotta be careful how you expand it. And without Torah, it will never work, such expansions. That's the general rule. Whenever you're gonna see new age ideas, there's gotta be Torah front and center. In other words, if we wanna make changes, to Klal Yisrael. And there are times when it was. The bottom line has to always be, are you doing it because you love Hashem or not? And usually if it means you love Hashem, you will be doing more things as opposed to restricting and not allowing things and things like that.
If you look around now, like a lot of the new, I don't know what to even call it, the new trends are in Qumran. I never heard of washing or broccoli and soap before or anything like that. All of a sudden, all these things, like, it's like giving more chumrah. Everyone's got to be called this. You know, let's shop at different hours. Let's have all these chumras.
So again, a chumra isn't wrong if it comes after the fact that you love Hashem. But it's coming without the love of Hashem. It's coming without the love of Hashem, then it's a problem. Yeah, if it's a chumra just to make a chumra, just to show. I mean, yeah, the thing with broccoli, first of all, is not a chumra. It's mamish. The thing is, we Jews long ago never ate these. First of all, you lived in Poland, you never saw a thing of broccoli in your life.
There was no broccoli.
You couldn't have broccoli. You had potatoes. That was the only vegetable you ate. Was potatoes. Finished.
Potatoes and onions.
That's it. There are not too many bugs in onions and not too many bugs in potatoes. So nobody heard about bugs. All of a sudden, you have all these new foods. So guess what? Broccoli's always had bugs in it. And there, you know what? You go into Shulchan Aruch that was written a long time ago. There's Hilchas Toloim, the laws of worms. It's in Yoredeah. It's the same place as you've got to slaughter the animal by the neck. So you've got to watch out for worms. It's always been on the books. But guess what? Jews lived in Poland and in Germany, all these places, who had broccoli.
And we had the pesticides.
And with the pesticides, all these things. So now it's a halacha, for sure halacha. We talk about a chumra. It's for sure halacha.
I don't know, I haven't heard about it.
Okay. Depends what circles you hang around.
20 years ago, was it a problem?
The pesticides were killing them all. But after a while, they developed a resistance to the pesticides. Pesticides aren't working anymore.
Okay.
Or they stopped using pesticides, whatever. So it's not working anymore.
It's definitely humorous are the trend. That's really my point.
In certain circles. Here's the idea. You have a problem with the internet, right? Problem with the internet. So there's two ways to deal with it. One is chumras. No internet in the house. Filters, this, that, all these things. All that saying is, no. Now, why don't we try this? Let's try to teach kids to love Hashem. If you love Hashem, then what's going to be, if you love Hashem, so guess what, if I love Hashem, Hashem, you don't want me to have the internet? It's not a problem. I won't have a computer in the house. I love you. You remember, if you really love someone, you're willing to do anything to that person with pleasure. With pleasure. With, you have to teach children to love Hashem. That's all. That's the biggest problem. Tell me what school teaches children to love Hashem. You want to tell me one
school
that teaches them to love Hashem? It's not on the curriculum.
There's a school that has a chumra that the kids can't wear striped shirts coming up now. It's a striped shirt. They're going to teach you to love Hashem.
It's not. But they don't want you to get into the styles. I mean, they're saying they don't want you to follow styles. But again, so again, it's better to teach them to love Hashem and then tell them not to have striped shirts. So that's the problem. Now, I don't say, you know, any curriculum that is based, you know, trying to teach children to love Hashem. So when somebody does, we'll know we're getting closer to Mashiach. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.